Welcome back in, Jaron the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Jared Stillman has the day off, and for the entire first hour, and we'll continue the conversation now, we've been discussing what happened last night in St. Louis in overtime of Game 3 of the Western Conference Final, where the Sharks win controversially in overtime, 5-4 over the St. Louis Blues on what appeared to be an obvious hand pass from Timo Meier that directly resulted in Erik Karlsson scoring that goal for the St. Louis Blues, which has kind of opened the can of worms, Floyd, for all of officiating in sports, at least for me, in terms of how do we solve this? Because we've had a whole lot of different issues in recent years that isn't just about the National Hockey League. As much as I want to wail on the National Hockey League for not making that play reviewable, we can wail on the National Football League for not making pass interference reviewable.
Absolutely.
When that blown call at the end of the NFC Championship game in regulation may have cost the Saints a trip to the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And there are all sorts of different directions you can go with this. You know, we never know what's a catch or roughing the passer in the NFL, right? You have that pass interference debacle back in January between the Saints and Rams. Targeting in college football is always a hot topic throughout the college football season. I mean, even the Kentucky Derby was decided by an official because of the DQ of the horse's name is escaping me in this moment.
I know exactly who you're talking about, though.
Maximum Security?
Maximum Security. Thank you,
Ian.
Very
good, Ian.
But there are all sorts of issues. I mean, the Sharks have benefited from three just head scratchers in this postseason. They have been on the right side of all three and are now six wins away from a Stanley Cup championship, which is pretty hard to believe. But it's posed this question. What's to blame for the increasingly constant miscues in sports officiating? You can go to our Twitter at 1025 The Game and vote on this poll. So far, after an hour of it being up on Twitter, 41% saying always been this bad, 27% saying game speed, 17% saying league rules, 15% other. You're saying, Floyd, that you think it was worse before in sports than it is today.
Yeah, I mean, the calls were much worse. There were many more missed, and I think there were many more mystery flags thrown, you know, at least in football, where you couldn't. And because back then you didn't have a review, you know, the guy had come over the sideline and said, hey, you know, your player just clipped this guy and we're penalizing you 15 yards. Well, who was it? And half the time they wouldn't even get the number. You know, you would have no idea. They would just tell you your player clipped the other player. Well, I mean, that was about as ambiguous as you could get. I mean, it used to drive you crazy. But they always seemed to balance it out because they knew how, you know, probably ambiguous the whole thing was. So by the end of the game, it always ended up, you know, where the penalties were close. There are always a lot more of them, but always close. You know, it'd be 13, 12, 10, 11, whatever it was. But, I mean, it's my contention, and we always miss the most elementary of the reasons, which is the officials. It's the people making the call. I mean, we can blame a lot of things, but the truth is the guys that are on the ice or on the grass, and they are responsible for calling the penalties or not, missed these calls. And I mean, the one in the NFL was just, you know, you got to be blind to not see that one.
And he was looking right at it.
But two guys. And so, you know, then people will say, well, that falls under the let them play category. That's ridiculous. And I think last night, like you said, the ref that's probably responsible for calling that was stuck behind the goal and couldn't see it. Well, there are three other guys there. You know, I mean, you've got a couple on each side and a guy in the back. I mean, somebody ought to be able to see that. If they can't, then again, you got to get better at refs. You've got to get, you know, better discipline, or you got to add a ref, or you got to whatever the case may be to try to remedy things like
that. Well, some people are saying that whether it's the National Football League or the National Hockey League, for games, they should have an additional set of eyes in the press box where
right.
there's an additional ref watching the game. And if there's an issue on the ice where all four officials either miss a hand pass, like last night, or miss the hit that Cody Eakin put on Joe Pavelski in Game 7 of Round 1 where they were basically penalizing the result of Joe Pavelski's head hitting the ice, even though the act wasn't egregious at all. It was just an unfortunate way of Pavelski hitting the ice and being knocked out cold for a second. And the refs see that and say, okay, well, that's a five-minute major on Cody Eakin, when really Paul Stastny had more contact on Joe Pavelski. And the act itself, whether it was Eakin or Stastny, neither of which warranted a five-minute major penalty.
Yeah.
But that five-minute major penalty, when the game's 3-0 in Vegas' favor, results in four power play goals being scored by San Jose. So if you have another set of eyes in the press box where, let's say, the official or the official crew, they want to get together, they ask around, hey, did anybody see this? The Blues are irate that there's a hand pass. There may have been something. Did anybody see this? And everybody says no, instead of saying, okay, well, the call on the ice stands, it's a goal, game over, you can buzz up to the fifth official who might have the benefit of TV. They definitely have the benefit of being in the arena watching the game from a completely different angle that might be able to help you make the right call. And I think that's what people want. No matter how you splice this in terms of how the NHL or the NFL can fix some of its officiating issues, everybody just wants to get it right.
Exactly. I mean, that's the most important thing, and that's the whole reason you have replay, is to make sure that you don't miss a play that cost you a game, that maybe cost you a shot at the Stanley Cup. And that's why these things are so blatant. I'm not sure. I'd have to think it out, but I'm not sure. I wouldn't mind if you had another – he would be more than official. He would be like a observer or something. But he would have the power to call down and say, hey, you guys missed this call. This is an obvious pass interference. You need to – or like last night – you know, hey, you guys missed this call now. You need to call. That needs to be disqualified. And have that kind of power, and that's the end of it. And everybody say, okay. Now, he may go three-quarters of the season in hockey and never, ever have to, you know, pick up the phone. But if there is a game that is determined by something crazy, then he can pick up the phone and say, hey, you guys missed this one.
So one option on this Twitter poll that we've put out there in terms of what's to blame for the sports officiating miscues lately: league rules, game speed, other, always been this bad, still leading. Game speed is second. Do you feel like the play on the field in the NFL or the play on the ice in the NHL or on the court in the NBA or on the diamond in Major League Baseball, that it's getting too fast? That these athletes are getting too fast, too quick, too strong for these officials under the category of human element to be making these calls without additional review, maybe in all sports?
I think without a doubt. I mean, I think and I know in the NFL at least, they have recently put in these very, very stringent conditioning and health issues and all that kind of stuff. But let me say this, the people playing these games, these guys, above and beyond the fact that most of them are fairly young, most of them are in great shape, most of them do a tremendous job of taking care of their body. I mean, they are freaks of nature. You know, they can do things that the average person can't do. Well, now you're taking an average person that may be none of those things. You know, he may be a 60-year-old, and he's out there, and he has to be able to watch and anticipate and be able to see all of the things that are happening with these gazelles going up and down the ice or up and down the field. I don't think they can. I mean, I don't think they, you know, it's a fact of nature. You're just not as quick, you're not as efficient, effective at 60 as you are at, you know, 25. I don't think that's a shock to anybody that's 60. I mean, I think without a doubt, an age, and then to me, it's the training. You know, it's all kinds, and they can't get enough training, in my opinion. I mean, people say, well, what are they going to do, sit around and watch tape all day? Yep. It's what coaches do. Mm. It's what GMs do. And if it helps you to see a game that you didn't see that had a penalty just like this, then it might save one of the games down the road.
On the other side, we'll continue this conversation. Plus, we'll hear the radio call from the San Jose Sharks radio network of last night's controversial end to the Western Conference Final, Game 3 between the Sharks and Blues. That's all coming up next. He's Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon, live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios. It is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. In for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, discussing all things officiating in sports after what happened last night in St. Louis with the game tied 4-4 in overtime. Controversial play in the offensive zone where it appeared that Timo Meier committed a hand pass that ended up in the back of the net after Erik Karlsson took a pass from Gustav Nyquist after the puck went to Nyquist, Nyquist to Karlsson, Karlsson to the back of the net. The Blues were infuriated, and the Sharks got out of there with a 2-1 series lead. And they all seemed to kind of have their, you know, we didn't see the replay type response after the game.
Bounce in their step.
Yeah. Like, was it a hand pass? Well, it was a great game. It was a great effort. You know, it was.
Didn't get a good picture of it.
It's important to have a 2-1 series lead. Was it a hand pass? I didn't see the replay. There was a whole lot of that from the San Jose Sharks last night. Let's hear how it called on the Sharks radio network with Dan Rusinowski. Let's hear how it called, or how it was called, on the Sharks radio network last night. We heard the Blues last hour. Let's hear the Sharks.
Meier sends in front. Nyquist, Erik Karlsson, shot, score! Erik Karlsson gets the shot away. It might have been tipped in front, and it is a Sharks 5-4 win. But the Blues are protesting. They say that might have been gloved in the net. So hold on, folks. This one might not be over.
No, they did not call a hand pass here, folks. They did not call a hand pass. Nobody called it. It wasn't blown dead. They can't call this back. This cannot be challenged. This game is over. This was a hand pass by Timo Meier that doesn't get picked up. And Nyquist shuffles it over after the hand pass from Timo Meier. But they did not call it a hand pass. This cannot come back.
Well, we weren't playing handball, were we? So we're playing hockey. I think, you know, we deserve to win this game. And at the end of the day, I think that neither team, you know, drew the shortest stick on any of the calls out there. So it's a fair game.
That was Erik Karlsson after the call from the Sharks radio network. Erik Karlsson. That I was texting with somebody last night. That was eye roll city. Like, come on, dude.
I mean, it's so funny how the difference. If they both said exactly the same words, same phrase, you could tell who won just by the tone. And, you know, he even talked a little chipper. You know?
Of the calls?
Oh, we're not playing handball, are we?
Yeah. You know? Well, of Erik Karlsson, but the radio call. Even the tone of the radio call. Yeah. The color guy was like, that's not coming back. They cannot challenge it. The game is over.
That was great.
Whereas with the Blues radio network, it was like, oh. Like, oh, they can't review it. Here are the names of the four officials. Oh, the NHL's embarrassed.
And, you know, they're praying. They're just praying. Well, there's some obscure rule here someplace that if this happens and that happens, then maybe you can review it. No, sorry. No rule.
And so this guy on Twitter, David, keeps coming at me with, you know, why are you guys talking about this hand pass when it wasn't a hand pass because it obviously hit his stick. I've watched the replay probably 50 times today. I cannot tell whether it hit Timo Meier's stick after he gloved it down. I cannot tell if it hit Jay Bouwmeester's leg. I think there's a higher probability that it hit Jay Bouwmeester's leg, which would nullify the hand pass and make it a legal goal.
Truth is, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And I'll say this again, like I said earlier in the show. The issue is we have no idea what the National Hockey League, what they were debating with the refs in the officiating circle right in front of the penalty boxes. We have no idea what they were debating.
Let me ask you this. Would you have felt better if they were to come on after the game and said, you know what, we weren't sure, there could have been a hand pass, we just weren't, but we can't review that. And because we weren't sure, we just went with a call on the ice, and it's not a reviewable play.
Yes. You're asking if one of the officials on the ice was deemed as the person who would be the spokesman of the group and said that? Yes. But we have no – and if they were able to field at least multiple questions about it. What was the discussion between you four officials – after the goal was scored, when it was utter chaos in the arena? Were you debating whether anybody saw the hand pass? Or were you debating whether it hit Timo Meier's stick or Jay Bomeister's leg, like this guy on Twitter is saying? We have no idea.
Yeah.
Gauging by the Blues players' reaction, I'm going to guess that they were debating whether they saw a hand pass and not whether it hit Timo Meier's stick or Bomeister's leg. Whether or not any of the four even saw the play at all. Because the referee that was in position to make that call was blocked by two players, could not see it. So then I'm sure that guy is asking the other three, hey, did you see it?
So what if they would have said that? Hey, listen, there were four of us out there and nobody saw it. Would that make you feel better?
It would make me feel better about needing additional review.
The NHL needs to review
every scoring play in the National Hockey League.
Okay.
Because the issue is that it was not reviewable. Like, you should be able to review that. Instead, we can review whether or not someone's blade was on the ice on an offside that had no impact on a play, whereas this hand pass had a direct effect on that play.
It's 100 feet from the goal. And here it's 3 feet from the goal, and you can't review that one.
Yeah. I'll give the Blues players credit. If we can get Alex Pietrangelo again, Alex Pietrangelo last night bit his tongue hard when he was asked about the hand pass.
Yeah, there's a different set of rules for two different teams, so I'm sure they'll lose some sleep tonight after looking at it, but that's all I'm going to say about it.
Did you see a hand pass?
I said that's all I'm going to say about it.
Alex Pietrangelo, Blues captain. This tweet just coming across my Twitter timeline from, I always butcher this guy's name, he's a very well respected hockey writer, Eric Duhatchik, I think is his last name. He says, quote, "The current system is clearly broken. Why is it that everyone in the known hockey universe can watch the replay over and over again, but the NHL will not allow the people who can actually rectify a missed call, the on-ice officials, to have a second look?" Makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's truth there.
And then we get into the opening of can of worms of, okay, well, if you're going to allow the officials to review more, where does that line get drawn?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, it boils down to the length of the games. And if you're, the NFL is, they are so worried about the length of games. If the NHL isn't worried about the length of games, then fine. You know, open it up. Let them challenge or let them review any of those things, any calls you want. But if in fact, the NHL is worried about the length of the games, then that becomes an issue because you're going to have those games where you go in there. You're going to be checking the offsides. Did he trip him? Was it a slash? Each one of those may only, or the, you know, 8 out of 10 may only take a minute. You think that's not a big deal, but then you're going to have those calls where they're not sure and they have to look at it again, and then they have to get a different camera, and now all of a sudden that turns into a 5 minute delay.
But some of those might already fall under the umbrella of goals that get reviewed, right? Like we have we have that all the time.
Sure.
Maybe not all the time, but frequently enough where there are reviews and it's taking 3, 4, 5 minutes. You're like, okay, if you can't make a determination now, then just go with the call on the
ice. And the only problem I have, or the only question I have, is are you going to be willing to do that more times per game?
Well, if you're reviewing every scoring play, to kind of go back to what I've been saying, you know, last hour, of you've got 30 to 40 seconds between the goal being scored and the puck being dropped. You've got that amount of time. If you're the National Hockey League, if you are in the war room in Toronto, you've got that amount of time to determine whether there is something questionable enough to deem it reviewable. And if there's not, then there is no delay at all between the goal and the,
right,
and the puck being dropped. But if there is, whether it's this hand pass or what have you, whatever it is, a high stick or, you know, an egregious offsides, then you buzz down to the ice and say, hey, we need to pause the game. We need to look at this. Or kind of like what they did. What was it? Ian, help me. Game four of the Stanley Cup final, where Freddie Gaudreau scored on a wraparound. And in the moment, it wasn't called a goal. It looked like Matt Murray had made a save, but they stopped play in the middle of it. They blew the horn and they said, we got to look at this. There's probably a goal being scored and we just need to stop play and not let it go any further because it's going to come back and we're going to give a goal. And then Freddie Gaudreau was awarded the goal. I think that happened in game four of the Stanley Cup final.
Can't remember off the top of my head.
Do you remember that happening at all? I think it was game four of the Stanley
Cup
final.
Not really, but I should probably.
I think I do.
It was reviewed and Freddie Gaudreau was awarded the goal because the puck crossed the line, and somebody, whether it's somebody in the arena or the war room in Toronto, they saw it and said, I think we have a goal here. We need to stop play so that it doesn't go any further and something doesn't happen that further complicates things. I don't know. There's a whole lot of different directions that you can go with this, and I'm sure the conversation will only continue, especially if something else happens between now and the end of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
NHL or NBA.
And it will. Something will happen.
Something always happens when it comes to officiating
in
sports. ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday as Nashville SC takes on Charlotte at First Tennessee Park. Pregame begins at 6:45 with kickoff at 7, only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. Braden Gall and Wes Bowling will be on the call for that one. Saturday night, Nashville SC versus Charlotte. Be sure to tune into that one. There was some big news in the city earlier today. We'll get into some of those details after the break and look at the future of sports in Nashville before Mayor David Briley joins us at 3:45 at the end of this hour. That's all coming up next on Jared and the GM. Ryan Porth alongside Floyd Reese on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show, live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios. It is Jared and the GM, Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, some pretty cool news, pretty awesome news earlier today as Mayor David Briley, Bridgestone Arena Management Company, Powers Management, and the Metro Nashville Sports Authority have announced a new 30-year lease deal slash proposal that will keep the Nashville Predators at Bridgestone Arena through 2049. It is pending approval by the Metro Nashville Sports Authority, which will likely be voted on next month at their meeting. But it's a new 30-year lease that would keep the Preds at Bridgestone through 2049. And there are a lot of different, you know, details and semantics to this that I think some people would be interested in, some people may not. There are potentially $350 million worth of renovations and maintenance that will go into Bridgestone Arena over the next 20 years. No matter how you slice it, this is pretty exciting that the Preds continue to invest money in their arena and make it the place to be on game nights.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, this is a win-win. A win for Nashville in that, you know, the Preds are remaining. I mean, the Preds and their relationship with Nashville has been off the charts. I mean, off the charts good. Everybody's won off of it. The Preds do an unbelievable job of taking care of Bridgestone and just all of the little day-to-day things that you wish you would do at your own house. I mean, they find a way to do it at that facility. So it's always, you know, it's, how old is it? 25 years old.
So it was built in 96 or 97, I believe.
And it looks like it's, you know, 10 years old. I mean, they do such a great job of taking care of the thing.
It opened December 18th, 1996. One thing that I always say to Sean Henry, Preds CEO, when I am lucky enough to have him on Preds Insiders, is that every time I step into Bridgestone Arena, it feels 5 years old. Whether it was 10 years ago or now, it always feels 5 years old because they're always adding something or refreshing something.
Yeah,
I inside.
Mean, everything is like brand new. And I think because they do such a great job of taking care of it, that it's, you know, it is only smart for the city and for Bridgestone, you know, to get together. Because let's face it, the way that Nashville is setting itself up right now, I mean, the sky is the limit. And if the city is going to benefit, either because of music or because of sport or because of entertainment or whatever the case may be, I mean, Bridgestone will be right in the middle of it because Bridgestone's kind of the, you know, the hubcap of that whole thing downtown.
Nashville Mayor David Riley will be joining us at 3:45, and this seemed like a slam dunk, right? I mean, you're in probably the most perfect locale out of any arena / stadium in America, or even the world. I haven't been to any other stadiums outside of the United States of America because I've never stepped foot outside of the USA, but I mean, it's got to be the primo location in all of sports, right? I mean, right there on Broadway, it feeds right to one of the more entertaining districts in sports, in music, just in life in general. One of the most popular places to be is Broadway in Nashville, and the arena is right there.
Right.
And you can go out, have a good time either before the game or after the game. And it's just a stone's throw from any honky-tonk you want to go to.
Walk a block.
Right. And they're building that amazing structure across the street right now on the corner of 5th and Broadway,
yeah,
where it looks like that's going to be an incredible building. I mean, that entire area is just becoming more and more incredible. So mm-hmm. It was a slam dunk to extend this lease in that location. Like, where else are you going to put an arena in downtown that's going to be as successful as Bridgestone Arena is?
Oh, yeah.
Before the lease was up.
I don't know where you would put
it. In 10 years.
You know, I mean, even if you had your choice of anywhere in town, that's probably where you'd put it, you know,
yeah,
where it is now. So, I mean, I would agree with you from that standpoint. It can't be much better.
So that news came out today. We'll discuss that more with David Briley here at 3:45. There was another interesting piece of news, Floyd, and I know you and Jared have discussed this. I believe it would have been last week, where a local group trying to bring Major League Baseball to Nashville,
yeah,
led by John Lohr, somebody that I don't think anybody really knows. He's trying to meet with Major League Baseball, he and his group, and it's being postponed until later this summer.
Mm.
Lohr said in a statement, quote, "Respectful of Major League Baseball's public position on expansion, the meeting with Music City Baseball has been postponed until later this summer. During this time, Music City Baseball will continue to lay the foundation for a possible Major League Baseball franchise in Nashville," end quote, John Lohr.
Yeah, which is exciting again in itself. I mean, after the draft and the exposure we got in the draft, I mean, all of these sports that maybe were considering Nashville are now saying, okay, we're in, you know, let's go to Nashville. Let's see if we can get something done there. And I think we're seeing that with NASCAR. I think we're seeing it, you know, with
soccer. I mean, they've announced that they want to bring an all-star game, an MLS all-star game here.
So, I mean, you hear people talking World Cup and all the different things involved. And that's, I mean, it's unbelievable. And to be honest with you, you know, I get a little bit concerned about it from the standpoint of, you know, let's don't get too much too fast so that we can't take care of the things that are already here.
Mm-hmm. Or
know?
The issues that need to be resolved before,
yes,
adding another layer,
exactly,
of whatever.
Yeah, because Nashville is not going to do anything to hurt itself from a reputation, a national reputation standpoint. So the people that want to, you know, the baseball team that wants to come next year, they'll still want to come in 3 years, you know, after we get all ironed out our future and exactly the way that we want to put things together.
I mean, 440 is going to be under construction until like 2021.
Yeah, we hope.
Yeah. Probably until about 2022 or 2023, yeah. Knowing just the pace of construction with anything in any state or any city. It just always takes longer than you expect. But that's not the only issue with traffic, right?
I mean, there's infrastructure.
The loop around downtown, yeah. There's 24, there's 40. So yeah. there are a lot of issues to work out before we might want to see something else that's big come to town.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll get into that discussion next hour as well. But coming up next, Nashville Mayor David Bradley will be joining us to discuss the new 30-year lease proposal that will keep the Nashville Predators at Bridgestone Arena through 2049. That's all coming up next on Jared and the GM, Ryan Porth alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. It is Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Ryan Porth alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. As the Nashville Predators and Mayor David Bradley's administration have come to a new 30-year lease agreement to keep the Preds at Bridgestone Arena through 2049. It is expected to become official next month at the Sports Authority meeting. And joining us now is Mayor David Bradley. Mayor, thank you so much for joining us. Always good to get you on our airwaves. I've seen you call this a great moment for the city. How would you expound upon that as to why this is a great moment for the city?
Well, the Preds have become a great partner in our city and an integral piece in terms of building the community. And so we're now on the brink of having a 30-year commitment between the city and the Preds that is going to give the Preds a chance to invest in the arena and make it the world-class place, and also take the taxpayers' burden off the list of things we have to worry about. And so I think it's a hallmark moment. You know, the city under Mayor Dean and under Mayor Bradison made some significant investments that had some risk to them to keep the Predators here and to bring them here in the first place. And so this deal for the city is a moment where we can say we made good decisions. We made good investments because at this point we've got a team that's going to be here and not be needing a taxpayer subsidy. And also have a great facility in the core of the city. So that, to me, seems like a pretty good win.
You mentioned how the Preds like to invest in the arena, and they can continue to do so under this new lease agreement. Led by President and CEO Sean Henry, the Preds are always investing in their arena. They're always investing in the product, the fan base, the community as a whole. And you can't say that about every team. Did that factor from the franchise itself perhaps make this lease renewal / proposal easier to come to an agreement on?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's not just at the arena, right? You know, they're investing out in Antioch with the facility out there, and then we're building a new one in Bellevue that's going to be part of the overall enterprise of the Preds here in Middle Tennessee. And so the 30-year deal really gives the Predators the opportunity to invest at a different level where it might take you a little bit longer time to recoup your investment. That's why the longer term is really important to both the Preds and the city, that they can go make some bigger investments in that facility. I think they would admit that they've made it, they kept it looking good with some paint and such, and they'd like to make some more significant financial investments to really bring the level of the arena up without building a new one. And so, yeah, I mean, the Preds are great partners in the city.
Mayor David Bradley here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mayor, you mentioned the impact on the taxpayers. Can you kind of go into detail what that aspect of this agreement means for the taxpayers?
Sure. So, you know, for folks who haven't been around for a while, you might not know that Nashville almost lost the Preds back, you know, a little bit more than, I guess, around 10 years ago, more or less. And so in order for them to stay, we needed to enter into an arrangement where we gave them a little bit of a financial subsidy for some period of time. That has been, I think, most recently around $3.5 million a year. And this agreement eliminates that. So the taxpayers won't be providing a a financial subsidy to the team anymore. And it was a good investment, I think, because I think everybody agrees the Preds have become an important part of the community. And we were able to save them by investing, and now that's paid off, and we'll no longer have that financial subsidy every year.
Mayor, it appears the sportscape in Nashville is skyrocketing. I'm wondering, I love the long-term effect of this agreement. I mean, 30 years is fantastic. A great partner for the city, and the city has been a great partner for the Preds. I'm hearing you hear all kinds of talk about NASCAR and racetracks and baseball and all of these different things coming in. And I wonder if I need to be getting concerned about the effect it might have on teams that are already here. You know, if we're almost too eager to bring all of these people in immediately.
Right. Well, I think you're right to think about that. And the Preds' success and agreement shouldn't in any way overlook the fact that we just had the NFL draft entirely because of our partners in the Titans. And so the next step for the city in terms of looking at facilities is going to be the Nissan Stadium. And so for a couple of reasons. One, the lease has not got that many years left in it. It's, you know, still maybe close to 10 years. But we've also got this issue of the World Cup game potentially coming in 2026, and that's pretty quick. So we've already started talking to the Titans about the lease, so that we could sort of lay out a framework to how to approach it, and that's next on my list. We've got the MLS stadium that is underway, and we got to get that built and get that up and running. And so I sort of see those two things as being the next two things. It's great to be considered for MLB. I don't even think they've announced an expansion yet. So we'll wait for that to happen before we start having any more serious conversations about exactly where Nashville would fit into that. And then NASCAR, I mean, I think I've made it pretty clear to the NASCAR guys from North Carolina that they need to try and work it out with the MLS owners here in Nashville about some way to mutually utilize that facility over there, the fairgrounds over there. And if they can get something worked out, then I think that'll be great and we can add that to the mix. But at this point in time, we've got a full plate, and we're going to try and take care of what's on our plate first.
You mentioned the draft earlier, and by all measures, it appears the draft was a huge success, and Nashville was a huge success. Do you see that, the impact of that on the sports scope in any sport, anywhere in the country, having a dramatic effect on maybe the appeal of Nashville to sports that maybe we haven't even talked to yet?
Well, I think my sense is that we demonstrated that we can put on essentially the biggest event in sports, period. No matter how big it is, we can pull it off, except maybe the Olympics. And so I think what it does to us is it moves us up the list when it comes to the World Cup. I think that's probably the most, and I'm just speculating, but I think it probably moved us up the list in terms of our rank in terms of getting a game in 2026. And so I think that's all it really does that we know concretely. But, you know, if Major League Baseball decides to expand, I'm sure we'll be on the short list for that, just because we are a good sports town and we're growing and young, and the market that every sports franchise is looking to do business with and partner with and have fans. So,
Mayor David Briley on with us here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mayor, final thing for you. You mentioned how one of the more important next steps in terms of stadium/arenas in this city is figuring out Nissan Stadium and what the Titans would like to do with renovations there. And we've heard the Titans be vocal about wanting to renovate and not build a brand new stadium that is going to cost a whole lot more than actually renovating. When or What have those discussions been like between you and the Tennessee Titans, and where do those discussions stand, and is that now on the front burner now that this is done with Bridgestone Arena?
Well, it's not quite yet on the front burner, but we have met with the Titans and talked about the lay of the land when it comes to the current contract and its extension, and then about the land surrounding the stadium over there. I think if you look at stadiums around the country, you're starting to see less and less of that just surface level parking and more residential, commercial, retail development in the area around it. And so we've started just to have some pretty open-ended conversations about what's going on other places, what the terms of the lease are, and how we might go about approaching it going forward. But that's about as far as we've made it. I will say that getting to know Amy Adams Strunk through the draft, and it has been great, and she is certainly a great asset to the city of Nashville, and I'm confident we'll be able to work out something that is a win for both the city and the Titans in the long run.
Mayor David Brierley has been our guest here on Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mayor, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
That sounds great.
Congratulations, Mayor.
Mayor David Brierley here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd will react to what he had to say there about Nissan Stadium after the break, and do we agree with the Titans' approach to not plan for a new stadium and just go with renovations? We'll get into all of that coming up next. I'm Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM Floyd Reese on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.